Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Okay, welcome all. I am going to turn the microphone over to Big Brother Almighty Rodney so he can do it.
Wow. Thanks, Tone. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Welcome all. We're going to get this thing rolling. I'm sure a few more folks will join in, but I'm going to start by putting the first point up.
Okay.
Regarding the topic, and the topic, for those that not familiar, can a man not handle the finances and still be considered an effective head of household? What if the wife is a banker or an accountant or works on Wall Street? But I think absolutely and unequivocally the head of household should be handling the finances. And I'll put this out there from the beginning. Please forgive me in advance, because if I say anything or type anything that's hurtful, it's not intentional. Intent. So that's not my intent. So, but I will say that I think that absolutely the head of household should be handling the finances. I totally agree with that, and that's not just because of my profession. I work in banking. I've been in banking 10 years. Got a degree in economics. I got a certification in banking and finance from Wake Forest. So, but I just truly think that the head of household should be handling the finances. So I'm sure I get some agreement or disagreement on that fact. But, you know, I just start there. I just, you know, put it out there for the group. See what any thoughts are.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Ronnie Wooten. Rodney, appreciate you giving me the number to call in.
Hey, what's up, Ron?
How's it going, man? I'd have to say that, you know, I absolutely unequivocally have to agree with Rodney. You know what I mean? I do. I'm one who believes that the man should be at the head of the household, and I think that being at the head of the household, you know, finances are, you know, are definitely one of the biggest parts. It's one of the biggest issues. And so, you know, I think that that's something that, you know, it has to be controlled by one party. One person has to be the ultimate influence. You can work with somebody, but, you know, the person, you know, who's, you know, the most, I guess I could say, respected or the most in control, you know, in my, you know, humble opinion, you know, I mean, should be the head of the household, which, you know, in my opinion, should be the man.
That's what's up.
Wow.
Anybody else?
I mean, yes, I mean, it makes sense, but and what he just said makes sense too. But if, I mean, just because we're the head of the household doesn't mean that we are better at handling the finances. You know, so to say that, it could be setting yourself up for some financial issues if we ourselves, I mean, because some women are more detail-oriented, I think, when it comes to finances than most of us. Well, let me not say most of, and just in most cases. And what do you do when that's the case, when she is better at handling the household finances than you? Do you still say, well, I still have to do it because I'm the head of the household, or do you do what makes sense?
I think it's probably going to vary from couple to couple, but I believe that, first of all, both parties should know what's going on financially. In addition to that, I think that whether the man is doing it or whether the husband is doing it or whether the wife is doing it, if there's no communication, I think that's what's going to end up bringing up more heartache in the long run, more so than which one is doing it.
Yeah, and I think just to speak to that, I think that because me and my wife talked about it, and, you know, essentially, I think that you may have some situations where the wife or the female is better at it, but I think that over time, as a head of household, you should be working in to try to, you know, get better at it. I don't think we should be complacent, you know, to say that, well, she's better at it, you know, than me, then I'm just going to, you know, turn it over to her forever. You know, I just think that eventually, you know, I think that eventually, you know, she should be able to see some improvement, you know, in your financial habits, and you know, eventually, you know, just work on eventually getting it turned over to the head of household. But I think there's definitely, you know, some cases where the wife is better, you know, financially gifted, you know, as far as, you know, paying the bills or balancing the checkbook or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I think that eventually, you know, with that, that's just, you know, an area that as a head of household, you probably got to work a little bit harder at until, you know, you get up to snuff. But, you know, that's just my thoughts on it.
Okay, so let's break it down a little bit. Now we're talking about let's just say you got the mortgage, you got car notes, you got utilities, you got groceries, you got just the household bills we're talking. We're not talking about your own separate finances like your credit cards or whatever. We're talking about your...
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Somebody
Hello?
Mute that?
Okay. Yeah, all right, it's clear. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're talking about, we're talking about the household finances, correct? So with the household finances, if she's the one that is buying the groceries, well, I don't know, because it's kind of hard to say. Because sometimes their extent is to buy the groceries and make sure that the kitchen is stocked up correctly, because that's kind of what they do. In reference to your own personal bills, like the mortgage and those other items that I named, those are the ones that the head of household should be concentrated on handling himself. Correct?
True.
Yes.
I say this. You know, I just say that. You know, my wife goes to the grocery store. I mean, she goes to the grocery store and she just, you know, we have a monthly budget, you know, that she's aware of, but you know, it's she doesn't handle that, you know, per se. It all comes out of, you know, the one pot. And, you know, essentially, you know, she's responsible for making sure everything is stocked up. But, you know, essentially everything comes through me, you know, as far as, you know, whether it be the groceries or the mortgage or the light bill or her cell phone bill. I mean, she doesn't pay any bills. And I know that over the years, we've been married 10 years, and we've had some battles with that, you know, because, you know, she felt that she could do it better. She felt that I wasn't doing a good job, over the years in some instances. So, you know, I was doing some things that I shouldn't have, you know, as far as the money was concerned, and rightfully so. So her concern was valid, you know, so I had to change that, you know, for her to trust me, you know, to make sure that everything was in line. So, you know, essentially, you know, my wife, she doesn't, you know, we have a $25 rule, and that's the only thing is that we call each other, you know, if we're going to spend over $25. And that's really just a courtesy call. You know, if I call my wife and say, you know, I'm buying some $50 speakers for my computer or whatever, as long as I let her know, I mean, she's like, yeah, whatever, you know, even though I handle the finances, you know, and right, you know, rightfully so, she does the same, you know, vice versa. But, you know, it's more of a courtesy call to say, I'm going to spend this money. But, you know, essentially she doesn't, you know, she doesn't pay any bills. And, you know, she doesn't know, you know, what's going on a monthly basis until, you know, we kind of have a little get together as far as, you know, the money situation. So.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's Devon. How y'all doing this evening?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
All right. I'm kind of in the same boat as far as like with, you know, with my wife and everything. I kind of took it on as when we had kids and everything. I always made the most money. And I always used to tell my wife that she didn't have to worry about anything. The only thing that she had to do, just like Ronnie, they do a courtesy call. I don't even ask for a courtesy call. I just need I need her to remember, you know, what she spent. Even if it's to bring a receipt home or anything like that, because on a daily basis, I'm checking finance, you know, whether I'm paying bills or whether anything like that, if we wanted to go out for an evening, every day I'm on an automated machine checking the finances. So the only thing that I ever ask of my wife, just remember what you spent, you know, because you make money just as I do. And she doesn't even know when her own car payments due. She take care of no bills, no house payment bills, no anything, you know, no electric, you know, the phone bills, anything. Because I think that her job was hard enough at taking care of our kids who are so close in age. And
Rodney can testify that as far as, like, you know, having children and everything, that it's not necessarily the woman's duty to be a mother and a wife at home. It's just that I knew that I was working more than she did, and, you know, it was even an equal job, you know, compared to what I was doing, taking care of the kids at home. So I think that me taking care of those bills was like a stress off of her. I mean, because let's face it, yeah, women are more, you know, responsible, you know, when managing finances and what to spend on and how much to spend and things like that. But I think it was a stress off of her knowing that I was capable as a man taking care of that, you know, so.
Yeah, just to bounce off of that, Devon, I would say, too, that, you know, during our struggles, you know, over the years, and I would give her, you know, little assignments as far as the finances and the bills. And come to find out, she enjoyed not having to worry about what time the cable bill was due.
Right.
Or, you know, where to send the light bill, or, you know, who to talk to regarding this bill. So, you know, again, you know, I think, you know, that my wife enjoys coming home, flipping the light switch, going through the microwave, you know, AC's running, cable's on, and she has no worries that everything is paid for. You know, she trusts me to make sure everything is in line because she knows me. And, you know, even though I made mistakes in the past, I didn't make any major, you know, financial mistakes. But,
right,
you know, now it's like she don't even worry about, oh, did you pay the mortgage this month? Or,
right,
you know, so just to bounce off of that, I think as a woman, that's part of that security, you know, that they like. You know, they just free to come and you know, come in the house and everything is on. No
right.
Worries.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, I mean, just for that many years, knowing that, you know, even before, you know, meeting my wife and taking care of that responsibility, I mean, I was probably the most irresponsible person as far as when it comes to finance. I figured that, you know, being a single person, you know, yeah, I try to take care of, you know, I was responsible for my own actions, but even then I wasn't responsible enough to be responsible for my own actions. You know, I figured I worked very hard. I was in the military at that time, and, you know, the life stresses that I was going through, I deserved that. You know, I felt like I deserved to go and spend my money on what I really wanted. And to be honest with you, being irresponsible back then had affected me going into my marriage. So, you know, I can honestly say that my wife has brought me to the point where she's taught me to be responsible. She's taught me how to be a better man. And for me to, like I said, take that stress off of her, I'm proud of the fact that I can actually uphold that. Because it's very tempting to take your hard-earned money and go and buy something you've seen in the store or buy something that you've seen in the TV. It's very, very tempting. But at the same time, you know you have to return home. And you know your family has to return home often, you know, so it makes you, you know, you're consciously aware of what you're doing with your finances, and taking care of your family is absolutely the most important thing. Everything else, you know, later on, yeah, if you have a little bit of budget, a little bit of money left over, then I see fit that you do what you would like to do with it, you know, in the same case with her. But taking care of your family is, to me, is the most important thing.
Right. Gentlemen, this is Ryan. This is my first time on, and I thank my brother for the opportunity and then pounding on me to make me dial in and join this conversation.
Welcome.
I want to back up for a second to, I guess I'll throw in the opposite opinion or the opposite approach to managing finances. I don't do day-to-day finances. That's my wife deals with that. I don't carry a checkbook. I don't do the online bill pay. And I probably grew out of the fact that I was a stay-at-home mom. And I work a lot of hours, and so I just never dealt with day-to-day stuff, but I always dealt I dealt with stuff like buying houses, and we're on house number 4 right now since 95. I deal with buying cars, the big picture kinds of things. I do not do day to day, but I do. We both have a copy of the same spreadsheet on our computers. We know, like, every month, you know, what due dates, when bills have to be paid. So I know we both go to the online banking. We know when things have been paid, and we're both back tracking the same spreadsheet. We know what the bank balance is and things like that. But we just take a different strategy where I do big picture, long range scale purchases, and she deals with day to day, and you know, it works just fine. We're aware of what's there and what needs to be done. Your purchases, we're both aware and throw in opinions, and you know, we just try to be objective about it. It's like running a business.
Let me add to that, because it sounds like what I'm hearing. Can somebody mute their phone, because they got a lot of background noise? Might be kids or something in the background.
Sound like a TV or something.
TV or something, yeah. If it's not quiet where you're at, it might be doing that. I'm hearing a control issue. And I mean, because with me, if I make the income as the man, I bring the income. I don't have a problem with my wife handling the finances, writing the checks, making sure that everything, you know what I mean, because she's got to have some type of a feel in this situation too. And for me personally, I'm glad that I don't have to deal with that anymore. When I was single, I had to deal with it. I had to juggle my own bills, blah, blah, blah. But now if I go out and make the money, I can just say, here it is. Do your thing, and I don't have to worry about that, because as head of household, we do have a lot on our plate. And I think that it's not a bad thing if they can eliminate that responsibility from us, you know, especially if they are in the field, like the topic says, a banker or whatever, or they just good with handling money. I think that that is something that we can be relieved of.
I have to agree with you on that one. There's time where we just try to do too much, and it kind of hurts the communication about finances, because either we forget and explain a payment or a bill that comes across, and then you start seeing these bills start piling up in your mailbox, because you just didn't have time to look at the website or online pay or your checkbook one day, because you had to do 12 hours at work to get a project done or something. Sometimes it's easier if the men pass on to bills to the women, because they look at bills a little different than we do.
And why is that? I guess that's the case. That's what I'm hearing, is that it seemed like, you know, Tony was saying that, you know, when he was single, he was glad to, you know, when he got married, he was glad to pass that off, because it sounds like it was, I mean, it's a challenge. It's not easy. You know, that's what I'm hearing.
It's not easy. As an accountant, I can take care of everybody else's bill and sometimes have problems with my own, just because
I was about to say that, because that was one thing I was thinking about over the last couple of days after seeing the email about this call, was, you know, the supporting text for the topic said something about what if your wife is an accountant or something like that. And like the gentleman just said, just because you're an accountant doesn't mean you do a good job with your own bills, because I know several accountants who are financially struggling but do a great job of handling other people's money. I think it comes to, you know, it's the skills thing. I know somebody talked about when they first got out of college, you know, when they were younger and not married and stuff, having some financial struggles, and I did too, and it was just training, you know, not having any, you know, you grow up, you know, you learn how to do things from parents or grandparents, aunts, uncles, or whatever, but a lot of times a lot of that training doesn't include how to handle household finances. It becomes a thing of just paying bills when they're due. And that's not training when it comes to managing a household and finances, I think. So that the challenging part comes in, because you don't have you know Most guys know how to wash a car. Most guys know how to change oil. Most guys know how to, you know, mow the lawn and things like that because somebody showed you. But very few people I've run into had a whole lot of, you know, tutoring, if you will, as they were growing up on here's an approach to managing your household finances. And you're just figuring it out as you go along, learning from your mistakes.
See, for me, it was harder for me, you know, going straight from, you know, high school to military and actually being on my own. I had a childhood where I had a fantastic childhood as far as sports and things like that. Of course, we didn't come from a lot of money. My mother was a single mother, you know, mother of three, and of course, we didn't have a lot of things. I always, you know, as a child, I grew up being envious of other people having the things that they have. So, of course, when I got into the military, where I was actually having money on my own, of course, like I said, I started irresponsibly as far as, like, you know, buying things that not necessarily, you know, I needed to have. But at the same time, I felt like I worked that hard to be able to, you know, spend it on what I wanted. And, you know, I was never trained. You know, I never had that kind of money where I was trained or taught or, you know, kind of, you know, how to save money or, you know, to put money aside or anything like that. And I know somebody said before, you know, it sounds like a control issue. And it's not that. I don't know what, you know, that control issue was from, you know, me controlling my wife or something like that. But it has never been a control issue. It's just that, like I said before, my wife dealing with her with the kids and everything, and now she's a teacher. So now she's even got more stress. You know, my job is not as stressful as her job. So like I said, as a man, I feel that, you know, it has been my obligation. And I'm actually proud of the fact that I can actually take care of these bills while not having her to worry about where her next car payment is. As long as, you know, nobody's coming to pick up her car, or as long as the insurance hasn't lapsed, or anything like that. You know, those important things, you know, coming in the house, like, you know, Rodney said, flicking on the light, you know, the light switch, and, you know, not having any lights on. I mean, that's something to be very concerned about. But to know that she gets to come home and do those things without having a care in the world, you know, that's important to me. And it's not like I'm trying to control her, because as of right now, she makes more than me, but I'm still the one handling all the bills. You know, as a teacher, she's making more than what I make per year right now. So it's not about a controlling thing or anything like that. I just feel that my wife has enough stress as a woman, as a mother, as a teacher, you know, having it in her career, that I think that as a man, for me, I can take that off of her hands. I mean, you know, men are built to carry on those on a lot of loads. And I feel like I'm built enough to take that, you know, to take that aspect of our life on.
Yeah, and that's what I ask too, fellas, is that I think that we can all on this call agree that the household finances, whether it be day-to-day, short-term, long-term, is easily one of the most important priorities in the marriage.
Yeah.
You know, number one of the leading causes of divorce. I mean, it's probably one of the, if not the most, top priority in our households, one of the most. And what we're saying is that we're going to defer one of the most important things in our household to the wife.
Just to step in, two things. For anybody who's just on the phone.
This is John Davis.
Oh, okay, good. We also, if you have your laptop or computer at home, you can go to www.talkshoe.com. And you can actually ask questions and listen to the chat online.
Okay.
There's a question that's on here that was asked, and it may go to the gentleman who said that before he was married, you know, he didn't know how to handle bills. And so, you know, when he got money, kind of spent a little more before he was married. But do you think when we get married, we still have that mental thought where the question was, why did we feel like we have to keep up with the Joneses? Do we sometimes, and we saw this in the economy the past couple of years, that we buy more than what we actually can own? and we end up putting our family in a bind because of situations like that. Do you think that that's something that needs to be put solely on us?
Yeah, because I think that, I mean, you would have to show that, that we're mature enough to, you know, when it's time to buy a car or whatever, or a house, we have to be mature and responsible enough to say, I'm not going to buy, you know, no, not knocking anybody that's got a, you know, a big car or whatever, but, you know, and instead of driving an economical car, you know, we go for the, you know, the big ride, and we really can't afford that big ride. So I think that it's a maturity and a responsibility. For my wife knows that I can go to the car lot tomorrow and buy a new car. You know, I don't even really need her. But she knows that I would never do that. I would never, you know, make that kind of purchase. And even if I did buy a car, it'd be something economically, it'd be something that would fit in our budget, even though, you know, my next door neighbor drives a big Benz and I like it. You know, so I think that it's a maturity, and granted, my father always used to say, you pay for your learning. You know, so when you didn't have that training, like Devon was saying, you know, and a lot of us haven't had, we make financial mistakes, but it's all about how you learn from it. You know, it's like, do you continue to make financial mistakes? And that's the whole point of what I was talking about, is that, you know, you may have made a lot of financial, you may still be making financial mistakes today, but it should be some sort of progression, you know, in as far as how you handle your money. It shouldn't be you should always be, you know, being late on this or not paying that, or, you know, it should be some progression where you're actually getting better with handling your finances. It shouldn't be any stagnation or any decline in how you handle your finances. It's all about maturity.
And the I'd like to take it a step further. And for me, like, it comes back to, like, roles and responsibility. And when I say before that, you know, the man being the head of the household, I mean, that levies off into a lot of things. For me, growing up as a child, my father handled the bills, despite the fact my mother made more money. And, you know, I mean, they both had equal, I'd say, say in, you know, the relationship. I mean, my father took care of the bills. That encouraged me to grow up and, you know, become a wise spender. That encouraged me to grow up and keep up, you know, with my finances. And I just can't imagine being so removed, you know, as Rodney said, from one of the most important issues, you know, in a marriage, and deferring that. And, you know, then I picture having my kid come up to me and saying, hey, Daddy, can I go out and get these nice expensive shoes? Well, son, you know, I honestly don't know. You're going to have to ask your mother that one. You know, she controls the finances. I've actually heard that in other relationships. And to me, that's just outright crazy. I mean, so, or, you know, as I said before, the role, I think everybody can admit, you know, for the man is at the head of the relationship. The woman supports him. And, you know, if you don't have a strong handle on the finances, how can you really have a strong handle on all the most important decisions that are made in the, you know, within the household?
That's good words.
That's good words. I like that. And see, the reason why I said before that, you know, my wife has actually made me a better responsibility, you know, responsible for finances is, you know, of course, when you get married, you know, before you get married, you go to counseling, you talk about finances. I found out, you know, her credit score is astronomical. It just blew me out of the water how her credit score was. And I had to get mine up to par. I couldn't go in subpar in a relationship where my wife is blowing my credit score out, blowing it out of the water because of some irresponsible mistakes that I had made as far as being on my own. So that's why I say for me, you know, my wife has made me a better person as far as that. And for me to be proud enough to take on that role, I got myself together, you know, before we brought it together, you know, as a couple, as, you know, a married couple, I had to get myself right. I had to mature myself. And like Rodney said, you have to have progression somewhere. You have to. You know, because you can't take your irresponsibleness into a marriage, especially with the finances. I mean, because even though you don't want to take it to that route where you could be divorced due to finances, it happens. It happens. And it's a major part of the reason why people get divorced these days.
We have a question. As men, we need to know how to provide for our family or woman/family. Does anybody want to reflect on that? Is this about providing this piece, or is it about the who pays the bills on after the money has been? Does anybody want to touch on the providing issue? Meaning, you know, we bring the money in, so we should be in charge of the bills, or what is the case? I mean, you all can answer however you like to answer.
If I could like to touch on that, I don't think it's a providing to me. It's just is to me making sure that my family has everything that they could possibly need to survive. It's not, like I said, my wife brings in more money than me now that she's a teacher. So it's not even, you know, about who makes more money. It's just that to know that I can wake up, go to work every day, provide for my family like I have been at this same job for the past 7 years, you know, even though she's just been a teacher for almost 2 years now. My role is never going to change. That's my role. I'm the man. I'm the one that gets up and does the strenuous work. I'm the one that works the long hours. That's what I am built to do. So, you know, providing financially, emotionally, you know, instilling, you know, values into my kids. I mean, providing goes to, you know, for many aspects of the work. You know, and that's my role. That's my role as a man. So.
Anybody else got anything on that? Well, when it comes to providing, I think it starts at the beginning, too.
Got some road noise in the background, road noise.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah, I think it starts at the beginning. I think sometimes because the way society is today and that everybody is now doing better and making a little bit more money, society has said as a provider, we have to look at we have to be particular of what we do and where we live and what schools our kids go to, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning to say that in doing this, we overstep our boundaries in making payments, and we try to put our kids in every single thing, and we try to live through somebody else as a man. I think these days, I see a lot of parents spend millions and hundreds and thousands of dollars on their kids to be the next Michael Jordan. And however, I don't see them all in PTA. So when you're talking about providing, we have to make decisions when it comes to family needs on what is more important.
And I guess the question is, you know, how can we do that if we're, I guess, I don't want to say in the dark because, you know, I don't want to put that, you know, out there. But, you know, the day-to-day, you know, for those brothers that do it or have done it, the day-to-day household things, you know, as far as, you know, what we do to make ends meet, I mean, it's a grind. It's a challenge. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm probably thinking about something financially probably multiple times an hour every day, all day. You know, whether it be a college fund or a daycare payment, you know, that's due next week or the mortgage or whatever. I think that we're constantly thinking about that. And, you know, I think it goes back to my earlier question is that we can all admit that this is a real challenge. Handling the money, handling the day-to-day, long-term, short-term, however you want to put it, handling the money is not easy. And I don't think as head of household, I'm not meaning to be offensive, but I think as the head of household, we cannot defer one of the major, you know, top responsibilities in the marriage to the wife. I mean, this is one of those things where we got to really, you know, no matter how long you work, you know, how much you got on your plate, I mean, we have to admit, you know, like Devon said, I mean, our wives have a lot on their plates as well. And we're the ones who are, you know, the stronger vessel to step up and say, you know, give me all of it. You know, I can handle it. And, yeah, it gets tight sometimes. But, you know, we are built to handle more, you know, than our wives. And, you know, I just think that it's so important that as a head of household, you have to be in there.
Even if she's better at it than you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hold on, I got a question.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, Who was that just speaking this then?
That was Rodney.
Rodney?
Yeah.
Rodney, I see a different picture as far as marriage and money. I see it more as a partnership, you know.
Right.
I don't see myself as chief executive officer of that. I consider it, if you want to use analogy, of some kind of corporation, you know. I see it as both of us working together, and I don't put a stamp on it that this is my inheritance as a man to be the brains of the operation. You know what I'm saying? I see it as both of us working in unison to get whatever goals that we set for that family accomplished.
But don't you think that if you are working as a partnership, that is a partnership. You know, like I was saying,
yeah.
I mean, my wife is taking care of my kids, who gives her the most stress throughout the day. To me, that's a partnership to take that stress off of my wife, to handle some of the most important aspects of a marriage. I mean, raising our kids is important, but so is maintaining that household. I mean, that is, to me, that's an equal partnership. Because I'm gone most of the day, you know what I mean, out of a regular work day, you know, and out of a regular school day, and out of a regular teaching day, I'll see my wife in the morning, and she takes my kids to school because the kids go to school where she teaches. So she sees my kids for most of the day. To me, that's equal enough for me to take that other burden, those other stresses off of my wife. To me, that's an equal partnership.
Yeah, for me, I'm just saying, speaking for myself.
Okay, I understand.
I'm speaking for myself. I took on just as much responsibility as far as doing some of the things as cooking and doing things with my kids as my wife did. But at the same time, I let her share in the overall picture of what we need to do. You know, I put it all in one pot. You know what I'm saying? And I looked at it as, hey, you know, we all in this together responsibility. You know, I'm not gonna make a big financial decision either. Who's gonna go pick up the kids, or who's gonna go cook a meal or something without a consensus of both of us making a decision?
Yeah, and I think we're not saying
I just look at it across the board on everything.
Yeah, but I think that we have to remember that it's not an equal partnership. You know, and I don't mean to be chauvinistic, but I mean, we have to be clear that, you know, the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God, you know, as it says in 1 Corinthians. And I got that on one of the points, is that, you know, granted, you know, it is a support system, but there is a leader in this marriage. You know, it's not, you know, we walk in, you know, together and, you know, everything is 50-50, 50-50, 50-50, 50-50. It's not like that. I mean, it's just like a car. A car has one steering wheel. Only one person can drive. You know, and granted, you can switch drivers, you know, as Devon was saying, you know, he can, you know, she can grab up the kids or, you know, whatever. But I think as a leader, you know, we have to recognize, and that's, you know, it goes back to my earlier point that, you know, as the leader, as the head of your household, I think the finances is something that I just think that cannot be deferred. I mean, it's so major, I just think it can't be deferred. I mean, you know, again, I don't mean to be, you know, go ahead.
Are you saying, because I'm really trying to understand, are you saying in that aspect of this, are you saying in this instance that, okay, if you have a wife, and I'm just giving an example, if you have a wife that's she's just much more organized, she's better with numbers, and are you saying that even if that person is stronger in her organizational skills and her and just with numbers alone, and budgeting and things like that, that you still should handle all the money? Or would it make sense, or would it be safe to say that, okay, she can handle those things because she's better at it. She's much more organized. She's better with numbers than I am. But the final say on the decision we make with the money is my decision.
Yeah, and I'll answer that. And I'll say that my wife is much more organized than me, and she's actually, you know, taught me some things about, And I'll tell you something crazy. When we first got married, you know, literally I didn't keep a check register. You know, I was like, yeah, it's fine. I just keep it all in my head. And she was like, are you crazy? You know, so essentially, you know, it was some little things along the way that she's helped me. And she is more organized than me. And, you know, the thing about it is what I say is that if she is more organized, if she is better with numbers, I mean, she can help you to be better. I mean, that's my whole point is that you should.
But let's ask ourselves, how many people right now know what the sale is if John is having a sale this week? Now, I bet your wife do.
I do.
But for the most part, if you took a poll of men and you asked them what sale is going on this week at this store and this store and this store and this store, we don't know. They do.
How many
they
men clip got coupons?
Yeah, I'm starting to clip coupons. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just something that I feel you, right? I feel what you're saying, but I'm kind of like more with the brother because when it all boiled out, I said, well, whose money is it? It's y'all money. You can make all the money in the world, and she don't work.
The reason why, you know, I'm agreeing with Rodney on this is the fact that my wife actually gave me the reins for this, and I accepted the challenge. You know what I mean? It wasn't the fact that I just said, you know what? I am king. This is how it's going to roll. No. I said, well, honey, why don't you let me go ahead and take this?
She probably didn't want the stress.
I would appreciate that.
She probably didn't want the stress of it.
She didn't want the stress of it. So I took the reins of that. It wasn't a saying, okay, this is how it's going to go down. It's just that the opportunity arose for me to step up and say, you know what, as a man, as Devon White, I need to go ahead and take this dress off my wife. It wasn't about, okay, the money is all ours together, because in the end, it is. It is. That's, I mean, this is how you create your family. Everything has to go in together. But this was for me to help my wife out. And that's
right.
The bottom line, to help my wife out, that's what I had to do as a husband, as a father, as a man, is to take the reins of this stress, this part of her life, to say, you know what, honey, I got this.
I think, Devon, nobody has rebuked that yet. Nobody has said that it's not stressful, that it's easy. And that's the thing. That's the thing that I just can't get around is that we're admitting, if we're not, you know, vocalizing, we're admitting that it's stressful. We're admitting that it's a challenge, but we want to defer the stressful, the challenge to the wife.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that's where this is all, you know, boiled down to is that, you know, one of the most challenging things, one of the most, you know, top priority in our marriage is we like, really can't handle it. I'm working too much. I got a lot on my mind. I'm going to let her handle that. And I think as the head of household, I mean, it's like, you know, and again, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I think that, I mean, it's a challenge, you know, to say, hey, his wife gave him the reins when, you know, he exhibited poor financial behavior, you know, back when he was single or whatever. She was like, I can't do this anymore. And he stepped up to the challenge. Mm-hmm. And I think that our wives really, you know, I know my wife appreciates because when I gave her one bill to pay, she was like, what? You know, she was just, where's the stamp? You know, how do I, what, is this dude and mom? I mean, she was just all discombobulated. So I was like, this, you know, and then I explained to her, this is what I deal with every day, all day. You know, and I can handle it. I've learned to adjust, but they got so much other stuff going on. They like, oh, man, I got to pay that bill. It's due tomorrow, you know.
Well, Rodney, can I just change the, I want to change the direction just
go ahead.
A second.
Yeah.
I want to touch on something that I think Patrice had said in reference to making sure that the kids get to their soccer practice or basketball or football or whatever the case may be. As head of households, I think that we need to also have a little bit more discipline. Now, if we do what you say and we handle the finances, we also have some responsibility.
Yeah.
And just because we may want our son to be the next Tiger Woods, our wife may not really be that much interested in that. And when you talk about sports, all that stuff costs money. It's taking money away from the household finances. And we may say, well, you know, this is what I want to do. I was watching this show the other night, and some of you I think probably have seen it, Black in America, where this gentleman's got these two kids, and they're good golfers. And he took a bedroom out of the house and turned it into a driving range. You know what I mean? And the wife just had to say, okay, well, you know, if that's what you want to do, then I'm going to follow you. I don't think that we should take that authority and do things like that that just don't make sense just because, you know, we're the head of the household. I think that we have to have a little bit more control with our spending and actually listen to them when they say, honey, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I'm not, you know, I'm not condoning, you know, tearing out your bedroom and making a driving range. But, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, in my house, my daughter plays the piano. She's in dance. And next year I was thinking on buying her a violin and getting violin lessons, you know, as well, on top of her piano lessons, on top of school, on top of church, on top of ballet, you know, all this stuff. And the wife is like, I'm not seeing it, you know, and I haven't sold her on it yet. You know, I'm still thinking that, you know, I'm buying this violin, we're doing the violin lessons, and she's just like, you know, financially and, you know, time-wise, she's just like, honey, this just ain't going to work, you know, and I'm just, you know, and I'm not going to make the decision, you know, without her co-signing it. You know, I'm not going to do that and say, you know, she's going to be a musician, she's going to be Alicia Keys, she's going to be, you know, Mary Ben-Ari, you know, I'm not going to do that without her, you know, without her co-sign. And that's, you know, I want to be clear that I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the wife should be involved, should be supportive, should be, not, you know, have knowledge of what's going on financially. She, you know, shouldn't be totally under your control and you just don't let her know anything. But, you know, again, it is a partnership, as John mentioned. But somebody's got to drive the car.
All right. Hey, Rodney, this is Roland, man. I told you I'd be here.
Yeah, go ahead, Ro.
But, my take on it really is that, I mean, when you start talking about managing the finances, I mean, that's nothing more than a task. You know, I mean, I hear what you're saying about, biblically speaking, the man's supposed to be the head of the household and kind of, you know, controlling that aspect of it. But bottom line, my take on it would be more of a, you know, the man should be making wise, godly decisions on how your finances are being managed. You know, how you're spending your finances. You know, that part of it, it seems like it would be a lot more important than, you know, who's taking care of it. Because bottom line, if your wife is a CPA or, you know, she's a banker and that's just a task that she's good at or better than you at, you know, it's okay as long as both of you, you know, it's a system. If both of you are okay with that system, aware of what's going on, and you're okay with, you know, her handling it or you handling it, that's one thing. But as long as there are decisions to be made on how the finances are being spent, that's something that, you know, you as a man or the head of your household may need to be more in charge of or take more of a lead role in. I think what's more important also is, and from my own experience, because when I got married, I was in grad school and my wife was working. And we struggled because, you know, for 20-some-odd years, this woman had been taking care of her, you know, taking care of herself and managing her own finances, and you know, and I wasn't working. So all of a sudden, here we are in a relationship or in this marriage, and it was more of a security issue. You know, he's not really contributing. You know, I love him, but, you know, here's where we are. You know, we're struggling financially. It was more of a security issue as opposed to a managing the finances issue, but it did carry over into the financial management of it because it was, well, if he's not, you know, contributing, well, is he managing the funds as well as he needs to be as well? You know, and I've been in banking for years, but she still just had questions about how things were being taken care of just because I wasn't contributing at the point.
So here's a question. So what is better? Now we're talking communication here. Is it your wife having her individual account, you having your individual account, and then you having a joint account, or we put all our money in one pot?
I personally would not opt to have separate accounts because then you could be doing something and the other person not be aware. But if you're in that type of relationship where you have that kind of confidence in each other and you both agree and are comfortable with and know what's going on with the other person's account, if that's what that's what floats your boat, then go ahead. But there absolutely has to be that communication and that agreement that that's how you're going to, you know, run things in your household. But you do need to know what's going on with that other person's account.
Yeah, and I'll answer that because I've tried it like 8 different ways. And, you know, essentially, when we first started, when my wife and I first started out, as I said, I work in banking, so it wasn't even really a struggle for me to get the finances anyway, even though that's what I thought I was going to do anyway, but I worked at the bank. But long story short, we had one account. So if she needed to get some Tic Tacs or lipstick, you know, she said, you know, this is before debit cards and all that stuff, she had to tell me, you know, give me some money from the bank or, you know, whatever. And long story short, over 2 or 3, 4, 5 years, that didn't work. That wouldn't work for her. She's like, I got my, you know, her direct deposit was coming in at one account, and she's like, I work, and if I want to buy some Tic Tacs or want to go out to lunch, I got a check with you for $5. I'm not having it. You know, so we flipped it up. So we flipped it out. I said, you get your own, you know, account, have your direct deposit, and you kick back, you know, your portion of the bills or whatever. And, you know, long story short, here we are back again, square one, one account, because she was like, I can't handle it. You know, it's fine. Basically, she just go, you know, with the, you know, everything, I handle everything, so she just go with the credit card, and, you know, as long as it's under $25, she ain't even got a check with me. You know,
I agree with that, too, because of the simple fact, like you said, and it goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about, you know, taking the reins and being the man and actually, you know, paying the bills and things like that. We try to do separate accounts also. And, you know, like you said, when you do separate accounts and things like that, then you almost have to half up the bills. It's almost like, okay, well, I need money out of this for this bill. Even though I'm still paying it, our money's not combined anymore. It's half and half, so it's going to have to come out of your portion. You know what I'm saying? And to me, doing that, it just didn't seem right. It seemed like we weren't in it together. It seemed like we were just roommates. And it was
a hassle for me because I'd be like, yo, I'm going to need you to transfer that money because I got to pay the mortgage.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, it was all, and then she'd be like, I'll do it later. And I'm like, the mortgage is due. I needed you to do it now. And she was like, I don't feel like it. And it was just always a hassle because she never felt like it. You know, it was just like one of those things where you can wait till when I feel like it. And I'm like, well, we're going to be put out of our house if I don't make the mortgage payment. You know, so.
Right. Well, if money is the number one, and it is, I think statistics have shown that money is the number one reason for divorce, then that aspect right there is the aspect of money being the number one reason for divorce. When the money is divided, first of all, we know a house that is divided is not going to be able to stand. But when you have to juggle the bills in that fashion and someone doesn't overextend themselves and don't have enough for the bill, now you got to cover it or whatever, that becomes a headache. It becomes frustrating in that relationship. And I was listening to what everyone was saying in terms of should the man handle the finances, should the woman, if she's smarter at doing it or what have you. Well, this is a head of household call, and we are called to be the head of household. And head of household doesn't necessarily mean you take on all the tasks yourself. Matter of fact, it doesn't mean that at all. As a matter of fact, it means that you ought to be able to use some godly counsel and using that godly wisdom that God has given us so that if she is better at handling the finances, I'm not saying that she should totally handle it and all we have to do is go out and buy cars and things, houses or what have you. What I'm saying is that if she's better at it, that's fine. We still need to be in the mix because there's no way that we can say we can jump in at a given time and say, well, here's my opinion. I think we should do this. I think we should do that. There's no way that you're really informed enough about what you have in the bank or what your status is if you're not involved in the money. So how can you really give an educated or mature opinion about what you should do with it if you're not involved in the money? So I think as head of households, we should use wisdom. And sometimes our wives are better at finances or better at money than we are, but nonetheless, I think when that happens, we still need to be involved to the point we might not be able to stay with them all the way because we're not accountants or our minds don't work like that. Or certain ones, I'm saying that because I know some brothers on here are probably very smart in handling their finances and stuff, and I handle the finances for my house. But I think when that happens, you still should know, and you still should be working with her. When she's paying bills and things like that, that should be a group effort because you got to know what's going on in that household in order to be that head. Two heads make a monster.
Mm.
So there's got to be a head holding down that house.
Yeah, and I'll just bounce off of that to say that, you know, what if, for example, you know, the wife is better. She's the accountant, the CPA, or whatever. And, you know, you have an interest to see, you know, what's going on with the bills. And, you know, come to find out, you know, as somebody mentioned before, you know, we have accountants, we have carpenters, you know, who don't even, you know, their house is a mess, but, you know, they put in nice hardwood floors and tile for everybody else but themselves. So what if you have this assumption that your wife is really, you know, holding it down, where if you actually, you know, took a step back and looked at it, you're like, well, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, I would be doing this instead of that. I think, you know, that's a dynamic, too, is that we, you know, if we turn it over to them, you know, we may not do it. We may have a different, you know, a whole different strategy. And I think that goes back to, you know, just you know, as the brother mentioned, you know, being the head is like we have to have short-term, you know, long-term strategies for the family, you know, financially and otherwise. But, you know, what if the wife is handling it and she's not doing a good job, or she's doing, you know, you actually can do a better job, you know, 5 years later or whatever. Then what?
I think, let me tell you, this is what I really believe. I think we keep saying that money is the number one, or money is, that's just keep being said, money is the number one thing as far as divorce is concerned. And I think if the question, however the question is asked statistically, that may be true. But if you really look at it, I think it's really just, it's not money. It's, money is the coup de grace, or however you want to say it, of the reason why people get divorced. I think it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of, you know, trusting whichever person who's better to handle the money. Because we're talking about these different accounts, you know, having one account, having separate accounts. I wasn't able to try this with my marriage, but reading, I heard this, and talking with other people that I've seen do better, the suggestion of having one mutual account and having a separate account. But that one account that y'all have mutual, that's a bill. You pay that account like you pay a bill. You know that things are going to get done out of that account. That's a mutual thing, the things that need to be done for the house and things like that. And you pay that account each month, and that's what y'all pay your bills out of. And your little account that you have yourself, when you do want to go buy that that new club, that new drive, or that new whatever, you can do that. But when you got one person handling the money, if you don't trust that person handling the money, or you go look in that account and $50 missing, $500 missing, you know, that's when the problems start coming with the money. It's that kind of, I can't trust this guy with my money. I don't think it's just the money itself. I think it's just a matter of trust. Who's much more trustworthy? And if your wife is the person that handles the money better, it only makes sense.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point, Simon, is that if our wives can't trust us with the money, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement.
Right.
That's a pretty strong statement.
How about bringing in a financial advisor? I mean, now that we're making money, we got homes now, we're putting a little money away in 401Ks, we're trying to put 529 college plans together. We might want to buy a couple of stocks or bonds, credit bonds or something for our kids. Why is it hard for us as men of household to get some help and maybe bring in a financial advisor? Why would we try to maintain everything ourselves?
Yeah, I know. I've Ameriprise actually offers free financial advice for the first meeting. So I met with them, you know, myself before, and you know, you can sign up, you know, for a regular, you know, visit, you know, and it's tiered, you know, based on how often you meet with them. But, you know, I found that it wasn't beneficial for me personally because of my background and my experience and my knowledge. But I did, you know, because of my wife, she was like, why don't you, you know, have us see a financial advisor or whatever. And I was like, nah, I got this. You know, I'm straight. You know, for the longest, I was like, you know, I was, you know, just like, no, I got it. And then, you know, he came in and everything, and, you know, I'll say, you know, that I did bring the financial advisor in, and I did, you know, and everything that I was doing, you know, thankfully, you know, was right in line. And, you know, granted, you know, I told him, I was like, I'm doing about 85%, you know, what I need to do, and, you know, that other 15%, you know, I don't feel that I should be paying you, you know, I don't feel the need to pay you, you know. And, you know, he gave me some tips, but I didn't feel that, you know, it was a good financial decision for me to continue the relationship because of the cost.
Roger, who is the company you just mentioned? Ameriprise?
Ameriprise, yeah. And okay. They offer, you know, they do like a free initial consultation, and, you know, I've actually called Rick Edelman, too, and he does like a financial plan for, I think, $800. And that's basically, you know, just like Patrice said, that lays out your college funds, your long-term savings goals, short-term savings goals, you know. So me as the head of household, yes, I had to get, I was stubborn, and yes, I had to get prodded, you know, because I thought, you know, I was all that in bag of chips as far as finances were concerned. But eventually, I did bring somebody else in, a separate party, to, you know, to take a look. And I was, you know, I was doing, you know, and the guy was like, you know, you're doing pretty good. You're doing all the right things. You know, you got the 401k, you got the college funds for the babies, and, you know, he was like, I really, you know, it's a few areas I can help you with. And, you know, he understood that it wasn't a cost-effective move for me to meet with him semi-annually because, you know, I was already, you know, doing my thing as a, you know, from the financial aspect. So, but I would encourage brothers, you know, to do that. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Now, most of us are in agreement that the head of household, it may be your responsibility to handle the finances.
I just want to say that I don't agree with that.
Okay, I kind of don't either, but anyway, there is a number on this phone that do. But let me throw this monkey wrench into the picture. What if you're in a situation where you actually make less income than your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And she is better at handling the finances as you. So as head of household, are you going to give this woman an allowance, the one that makes more money than you? You're going to say, okay, well, you know, here's how we're going to handle the bills. Here's your money coming into the pot. Here's my money coming into the pot. And here's your $100 a week for shopping or whatever the case may be. How would an independent woman, well, that's married but successfully, deal with you regulating the fact that she is the breadwinner?
I would absolutely never ever do that. I would never. I'm in that boat right now. My wife makes more than me. I would absolutely never ever try to give my wife an allowance because you're in it together. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just wouldn't be right to give your wife an allowance and you take control of the money. That's just saying she only made $100.
Yeah.
If you give her that $100 of allowance, that to me, that anybody who ever did that, that would never make sense to me.
It's not about giving your wife allowance. It's about saying, regardless of who makes more money, we both together have an allowance. It's not about if I make more money,
right?
The household allowance.
If I make more money, then hey, I get to spend more. If she makes more money, she gets to spend more.
Exactly.
Oh, the heck with that. Hey, we all have an allowance, and me as the head of the household, I'm just saying, hey, baby, yes, you brought in this amount, but hey, this is what we can afford to spend on what our budget is. This is what we can afford to spend based on what our bills are and what we have to allocate towards our kids. I'll take it a step further for you and say that any man, it's just complete and totally, in my mind, unacceptable for any man just to say, hey, you know what, my wife is just better at money, better at numbers than I am, so I'm just going to completely defer that responsibility away. I don't see how you can think that your child or even your wife really respects you being able to just say, you know, sit to the side and say, you know what, she's better at money, so you know what, I'm going to let her deal with all things financially. So what are you going to do if your wife has to wait for, you know, 3 months or 3 months, 6 months or a year, or even, heaven forbid, she passes away? You're just going to tell your kids? I mean, you're just going to be in a corner? You're just, I mean, basically going to fall on your face? I mean, I just think that is too big a responsibility just to, you know, kind of sit back and just accept not being good
Hold on one sec. Because I definitely want to address that. There are more women right now than men that are lost because their husband handled all the finances and they didn't handle jack. And they're sitting there, and their husband has passed away, and they're like, I don't know what to do. The numbers are more women than men. Because we handle the finances, and we do not allow them to even, you know, we got this, honey, we got this, and now we passed away for whatever, and they stuck not knowing what to do.
That's unacceptable. Well, the brother, I 100% agree with you on that.
The brother,
110%.
The brother that mentioned that it being a mutual thing, it has to be a mutual thing. And with the first thing that came to my mind, the brother that was just speaking before, and I know this is a crazy analogy, but it's just like saying, okay, I got Michael Jordan on my basketball team, but because I've been on the team the longest, Mike gonna have to just play his position. He don't get to shoot. If you got Michael Jordan as your wife in finance, you know what? She need to handle the finances, not handle it, and I'm not saying handle it like in every aspect. I'm saying allow her to be that person,
involved.
like what's going on and involved. She may be more involved than you because she's better at it, right? In Rodney's house, Rodney is in banking. Rodney is their guy. In
right.
other households, you may have a wife that's like Rodney. Now, my take on it, and another brother said something about a board. I gave this example long ago in some other phone calls. You're going to have, there's always a board, but you're going to have a chairman on the board. You being the head of the household, you are the chairman of the board. Your wife might come to you and say, hey, baby, look, this is what's going on with our money. This is how much money we got right now. This is what we have to take care of. This is what's going on with this. This is what I think we should do. Baby, what do you think? This is what I've come up with. What do you think? Now, if you got that relationship, if you got that type of relationship, or if you're able to accomplish that relationship, what I think is something that would be a good thing. If you're able to accomplish that, I think that's how it should be. If you happen to be the guy that I just gave that example, if you happen to be the guy like Rodney, you take it to your wife, baby. Here go all the money that we got right here. This is the things that need to be done. This is what I think we should do. What do you think? She may say something different from you. As chairman of the board, you may say, baby, I understand what you're saying, but this is what the board is going to do. Boom. Or you might say, baby, I'm going to go with what you just said.
Yeah,
Let me say one thing.
It's all in knowing, understanding leaders.
Right.
And that's what I think Rodney's getting at. But, you know, there was a conversation about, I think it was Rodney, you know, saying we can't just defer it to our wives. Like I said earlier, you know, I don't do, like, the daily, I don't want to carry the checkbook. I don't want to balance it. But I know, you know, it was me who set up online banking and showed my wife how to do it. It was me who set up online bill pay and showed my wife how to do it. You know, I'll make an analogy for you. One of my previous jobs, you know, I had for 1 year like an $8 million budget, 40 when various organizations spending all that money, and, you know, I had tracking that stuff on a daily basis and just providing me with reports. I don't need to, you know, on a daily basis dole out every dime that, you know, all these various spending, because my responsibilities are broader than that. But, you know, what I, at home, you know, again, I don't write checks, I don't do online bill pay, but I know when those things are going out, I know what the strategy is, because I made the strategy. But on a, you know, I keep, there's a spreadsheet I keep updated at least every other day. And then at the end of every month, you know, I'm sucking down all the financial transactions for a given month, running that through Microsoft Money, giving my wife reports, here's how much we spent on gas this month. And I think that it really gets into, from a head of household perspective, you don't, it really gets into to the leadership piece, and not just to be a leader, you don't have to be the person doing the everyday stuff.
And fellas, I just got to counter that, because I just say, and Ryan brought up a good point. And in 2009, we got online banking, direct deposit, debit cards, banking on your cell phone. It is easier than it was 10, 15 years ago. So it's really, that makes the excuses not why we don't handle it, when we can set up, you know, because I literally don't write any checks. You know, everything is just automatic. I just got it on a timer. You know, I just see it. Oh, yeah, that's gone, gas bill. So I think that's another piece of the puzzle, is that we're not writing checks, running to the post office, making sure we have stamps. I mean, literally, it's like click, put in your password, and you're good. So I think that even furthermore, I mean, for us not to handle it in 2009, I mean, that's really saying something based on how easy it is to handle our finances.
I think that's a big piece of this conversation too. If you like really wanted to go someone, and or if you really wanted to help brother, it is, you know, rein this issue in with not being able to, you know, control either person in the household to control the finances. It's just giving people tools, and, you know, like in my case, in some instances, I made my own tools. But then I also, you know, was aware of what tools to utilize,
And I think that may be a piece that, you know, and I became aware of that because of some other people around me who, you know, and they weren't in my family who were talking about, oh, well, this is what I do on a regular basis. I got the spreadsheet here, and I use Microsoft money. And so if you, you know, if someone's really struggling with that, I think you have to go a little bit deeper than just say, well, as a man, you should be handling the finances. Okay, what does that mean? I think you have to go another notch deeper and say, well, here's what I do on a daily or a monthly or semi-annual or whatever basis, and give folks some real tools to use, and start with just one of the things that I read a long time ago is just getting a handle in a typical month, what do you spend? You know, not and just for your basic necessities, what do you spend? And just getting a handle on what it takes to run your household on a normal basis from month to month to month to month. And most people don't even have a clue of what that number is.
Yeah.
I believe what you just said, this addresses the question that was brought up, that Tony brought up. Somebody must have put in there on the internet or something, the question of provider, you know, the role of a provider. And what the brother that was just saying, just saying before, that he showed his wife how to do online checking and everything. Right. That is providing. That providing don't mean going and bringing in the most money. You know, providing is that it could be several things. And one of those things, he provided his wife with, you know, the tools to get this thing handled. He might be like a person like me, working 12 hours a day. If you're working 12 hours a day and your wife works 8 hours a day, who's going to really have the time to go on? She's going to have a little more time on her hand, even though she got the kids, to take care of those things. So I think providing is not just going out and making the most money or bringing home the bacon. Providing is, you know, making those decisions, those final decisions, and showing your wife something. That's the provider.
But what Ryan said is that he set it up. So what he's saying is that essentially, if something were to happen to my sister-in-law, God forbid, it wouldn't take him no time to get, you know, to up to speed, you know. But I'll take it a step further to say it wouldn't take you no time to, you know, to link it up today, you know, because you already got the online password, you already got the spreadsheet, you know what's coming and going, and it's just like, you know, you just check in. Get that, mail that, take care of that. So, I mean, essentially he's saying that he's not in the dark, but by setting up the tools and everything, he's basically probably 1 foot in already.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I'm hearing here? And this is, and I don't want to interrupt anybody, but I just have to say this. Do we not trust our wives enough to allow them to just do? Is that what it is?
I don't think it's about trust. Because I trust people.
I think it's all about trust. I could turn over the finances to my wife
today, and it wouldn't be no problem. But, you know, I think it goes back to your earlier question, Tony, is that if your wife was making more money than you, and, you know, the thing about it, if my wife made more money than me, she would still allow me to handle the finances because she knows the dynamics of a Christian household. You know, and granted, now my wife will tell you that if I was not working, she would have a problem with me handling the finances.
Rodney, if your wife didn't trust you, she wouldn't let you do it.
Handles the money.
She would not let you handle the money.
She trusts you to do it, though, right?
If that's my point. It should be vice versa. It's about trust. I'm telling you, it is so much about trust. And this is what the head of household, this is what we talk about. This is what I'm learning so much. I love being on this phone call. This is what I'm learning so much. It's about being that man, being the head of the household. When you're the head of the household, we said this before, when you are really a man, your wife will allow you to do whatever because she knows that whatever decision you make, it's the decision is good.
Yeah.
Even if it's the decision of saying, baby, listen, you go ahead and you handle this. I'm going to show you how to set this up as far as the money is concerned. I think you should handle this right here. Even if it's that, she may not want to, but baby, my baby said that this is what I do, and I know I can trust anything he says. It's about trust.
It comes to in both parties, both the husband and the wife, is a certain level of maturity when it comes to, you know, handling money. You know, when we really started, when some of the more when some of the nicer tools became available, where you could, you know, use like a Microsoft Money and just suck in all your transactions from online banking and then just do monthly reports to see what you're spending. You know, once we had gotten to a certain maturity level in our marriage, without even trying, you know, I looked at you know, what we had spent over the course of 3 months, and that number was the same, you know, within, you know, $100 or so in the course of 3 months, and that's without, you know, either one of us badgering each other back and forth, don't buy this, don't buy that. That's just letting things go for 3 months, but it's a trust factor and knowing that you're both on the same page and, well, she knows I'm not going to just go out tomorrow and, you know, as my brother would tell you, if I go out and get something, it's not going to be, you know, a bowling ball or a new driver or something. It's going to, you know, it's probably going to have a comma and a couple of digits before the comma if I come home with it. You know, so my wife knows that, you know, even if I did carry the checkbook, she trusts me to the point that, you know, she's not worried about me, you know, going out and making big ticket purchases outside of what we agreed upon. But as the head of the household, I think you have to be sure that that is the tone in your household, that you can both trust each other to that level.
Well, I think it's also, do both of you understand the vision of the household? Are both of you going in the same direction?
And who lays the vision?
Exactly. And who lays the vision?
Who lays the vision?
Exactly. And the vision needs to be laid, and everybody needs to be on the same page. The finances are both of yours, so both of you, regardless of how much you make, it really shouldn't be an issue in the relationship, because the money is yours. Whether you're not working and your wife's a doctor, it doesn't make no difference. All that money is yours, just like all that money is hers. Now, if that has a problem in the relationship, then there's something deeper than finances going on in that relationship in the first place, and we shouldn't use finances as a crutch. And some of us, and I'm hoping and I'm concerned, but I hope that some of us are not using, well, she's better at it, as a crutch, because that doesn't mean that you don't need to get up and learn something about, and I'm not talking about anybody indirectly, so please don't come back at me. I'm just saying, I hope you don't use it as a crutch and saying, well, I don't need to learn it, because that sounds like to me that someone would also say, well, she's better at doing brakes on the car, so I'm going to let her do it. Now, that's, you know, at some point that becomes ridiculous. So we still have to learn it. We still have to do it. We still have to be there with it. If I'm married to Susie Orman or if I'm married to Michelle Singletary, obviously they have a better education than I do in the area of finances. So I'm going to let them work the area of finances. But at the same time, I got to be right there because I got to work the vision and I got to lead the house. That includes the finances. So there's a difference between controlling and leading. I'm leading the finances.
Right. And I put it this way, too. In order to lead well, you have to be led well.
Yes.
And if you're a Christian man, the leadership that you provide will be in a manner that is beneficial to your household, and your wife will be able to trust that. And you won't come out with, you know, leadership that's, you know, like I think some people were getting into stuff like, you know, doing crazy things for kids, you know, chasing down sports dreams and stuff like that. You know, a Christian man rooted in his relationship with Christ, that will manifest itself in good leadership decisions that your wife can trust.
And that's what it all boils down to. That's the root of, you know, what our marriages should be founded and based on is, you know, the principles of the Bible. And then, you know, everything comes, you know, along with that. I mean, if you don't have that, you know, to start off with, you know, you won't have you will have money problems if you're not, you know, if the family is not rooted and firmly in God and in the things of God. You know, everything is going to go haywire, including your finances. But, you know, I'll throw this out there is that, you know, have the guys that don't you know, handle the finances, have you ever asked your wife or thought about just saying, you know, going to her and say, let me, you know, I see you balancing the checkbook, you know, over the years, over the months or whatever. Let me go ahead and get that from you. How would you feel about that? You know, how you think your wife would feel if you were like, you know, I'm stepping up to the challenge. I know I'm working 16 hours, 60 hours a week, but I want to take that burden off of you, because it is, I mean, it is burdensome. It can be burdensome. You know, how would your wife feel if you came to her with that request?
Let me take a different tack at that. And then, you know, other folks can certainly jump in and answer that question. But the whole thing about it being burdensome and challenging, I think, you know, folks might want to look at that and figure out why is it so burdensome and challenging. You know, I know, like for us, it's, you know, it's not that big of a deal to where, like, if I didn't know a whole lot about it, it wouldn't be that to take it on. But, you know, maybe, again, that gets back into, you know, the knowledge of the tools and approaches on how to manage your household. If it's burdensome and something that is looked at as a big, scary monster, then, you know, there may be a deeper root cause there in understanding why it is so challenging and burdensome.
I think she'd be somewhat offended, especially if she feels as though she was doing a good job. I mean, let's just say that you're the coach of your son's little league team and she steps up to the plate and says, you know what, let me handle that because you're not doing a good job as being a coach. I think I can do a better job. I think we'd be offended as well. You know what I mean? So I think that would be offensive to the woman, especially if she was doing it already.
Good word.
Hmm?
No, that's a good word.
I mean, it is what it is. You know, if she already has the responsibility and then you just come and take it from her, you know, I mean, how would that go over in your marriage? That might be a whole nother list of issues that can stem from that.
I just want to know how you just going to call me out, Tony. I'm just playing. I'm messing with you, man. No, that is it, but it's so much a good word, man, because really it makes you look, these conversations make you look at every, you know, you might think that you got it on. Every one of us is men in our house. We wouldn't be on this phone.
Absolutely.
If we weren't some type of real leaders in our house.
Absolutely.
You know. But what it does is it makes you look, you know, look at yourself first and then look at other ideas, you know, because none of us are doing it perfect.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, fellas, you know, that I think Simon brings up a good point is that, you know, to the original question, you know, the answer is yes, a man can be an effective head of household and not, quote-unquote, handle the finances. But as the man that does handle the finances, and I don't mean this to be offensive again, you know, please forgive me, that's not my intent, but you got a man that doesn't handle the finances and you got a man that does. Is one more effective than the other, or are they both equal?
Right. I want to go back to your previous question of, you know, what would your wife say if you were not involved in handling the day-to-day finances and then you stepped up and say, hey, you know, I've been on this head of household call and Rodney and Tony told me I need to come take over my responsibility.
Who is Rodney?
Don't use my name.
Just Rodney.
One of the issues here is that it would get back again to the trust. If she hesitated or if she was not happy about it, it would have to be rooted in trust and thinking that if she did turn it over to you, she might not end up, or the household might not end up where she would desire it to be. And, you know, I think, again, that gets back to the trust factor, and yes, she'd probably be offended too, because you'd be implying that there was something wrong with the way she was doing it.
Yeah, and I'll take that, you know, another angle to say that when my wife came to me and we were having our struggles financially, and she was like, you know, you need to let me handle it. I threw the checkbook on the table. I was like, you can handle it, because it's stressing me out. And I walked away. I mean, I'm serious, brothers. I was like, you want to handle it? You handle it. And I walked away. And next thing I know, she come creeping up the stairs. I'm sorry. You know, I see you stressed out and then all the time, so I don't want to really handle that. So, I mean, really, when she approached me, I was like, here, you can have it. get this burden. You know, it was a burden then. You know, I said, get it off of me. You know, and it's much better now. There's no issues now. But then I was like, please, you can do this starting tonight. I actually got a bill I need to write tonight. Here you go. You know, here's a stamp. Do it. Have at it.
I really believe, man, the truth of the matter, I really believe that if approached correctly, and the whole point of this, the say of the household, is that we need to take back, not take back, like if ever it was relinquished, but they talk about it in the church too. We really need to be better men, and our household need to be better men in the church. There's more women in the church. It's more women doing all the work in the house. And things like that. So that's why I this is good. I really listened to what Rodney was saying. That is a burden. You want to be more involved. If you're not involved, you should be more involved. If not, the lead. You really should be the lead on handling the finances in the house. That is a great burden in the house. And that's the whole point of this whole thing, that we need to be that man in the house. And I think if you did approach your wife, she'd been handling the bills, and you said if you approach it the right way, I think she'd be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
She'd be, like, good with it. Like,
and,
wow.
And that goes back to my earlier question. You got a man that, you know, you got two men standing beside each other. And, again, you know, don't take, you know, offense to this at all. But is one man more effective than the other? Or are they both equal?
Yes, and I'm going to say yes. I know, to not to the surprise of everybody who's listening to me talk for the rest of the night. And it goes back to just something that I heard my pastor say to me, and I was actually there. I'm not married at this time, but, you know, I'm in a pretty serious relationship with my girlfriend. And the words my pastor left with me is, hey, as the man of the household, as the leader, you know, before you ask her for anything. And when I go back and I listen to that statement, you know, how can I spend everything if I'm not ultimately the person that's finances? How can I, you know, relinquish all my energy and, you know, and spend everything that, you know, I earn, you know, I mean, for my family before I go to her, you know, who is supposed to be my support, if I'm not the one controlling that? So, you know, that's why, in my opinion, you know, just based on, you know, what I guess my spiritual counselor has told me, yes, that other person is the more effective leader.
I don't know about the effective leader.
Oh. Like, can we still be an effective head of household if we can delegate responsibilities? Are we allowed to delegate responsibilities as a head of household?
Absolutely. But I think that what we're saying is that this financial piece is probably one of those things that, I don't know, I know Jesus talks about, you know, money is in the Bible about 2,000 times, and he talked about money almost half of his parables, so... I mean, what that said to me is that this is a pretty important thing. And, you know, as the brother said, it's the, you know, I don't know if it's the number one. It may be the number one reason for divorce. And, you know, that's what, you know, when I wrote the points, I said maybe that is the reason we have a lot of couples getting divorced. And, you know, God forbid, I don't wish that on anybody's relationship. But, you know, because the wife is handling the finances. I mean, something as minimal as that, you know, that we minimalize it, you know, that we defer it, that we delegate it. I mean, that could be the crux of the disagreements, you know, in the marriage.
But is it because she's handling the finances? I mean, really, if you're handling your finances, you handling the finances, and I don't even want to give no crazy, but whatever the other, you know, your wife going out every night and you know, her girlfriend's paying for her drinks, but she's going out every night, and you just can't take it no more. So you decide, listen, it's time for it to be done. She got another boyfriend, but you handling the finances. Finances ain't had nothing to do with that.
Right. You talking about
you
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's two different issues.
No. We are talking about the same issues because the issue, what we're saying is, you know, that's the number one reason for divorce and things like that. That's not. I promise you, it's about trust. It's not about who's handling the finance. It's really about the trust.
It, can we delegate it? Yes, of course, absolutely.
Yeah,
but should we delegate it? I think that's the question. You know, should we delegate it? I think that's what we're dealing with here.
And you're right. And you're right. And should we delegate it goes back to the original topic. What if your wife is a banker, an accountant, etc.
And what if she is better at handling finances than you, and she's got more time because somebody said they work 12 hours and their wife might only work 8, and she's got more time to do it, then I think, yes, we should delegate it. This is my opinion.
Okay, I got a question, too.
Go ahead.
Oh, how about you be you work 5 days a week on a roll, and she better with the finance, like y'all say, she better with the finance, right? And you ain't got time to do all that. You always working. And you give her the responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? That's
I just go back to the point that in 2009, you ain't gotta literally sit down at your kitchen table and write checks no more, fellas. That's my whole point. You can have them things on automatic, you know, direct deposit, overdraft protection. So if you miss something, you know, miss a deposit or whatever, it's there. So I think that it's really, you know, I think 10 years ago, yeah, you know, this discussion would have been a lot different than it is today. But I mean, I don't write any checks. So I mean,
are we talking about the task of paying the bills? Are we talking about the decision being made of where the money is going?
That's what I'm saying.
There's no excuse that, regardless of what we're talking about, there's no excuse not to just be able to say, hey, someone is so much better, or I'm not capable of doing this, because regardless of who's doing it, it really don't take much.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. I think everybody on this phone is capable of paying their bills, because before we got married, we were single, we had to pay our own bills.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a matter of capability. I think it's a matter of who would be, just like the gentleman just said, you're on the road 5 days a week. You know what I'm saying? The wife is there. She can handle it. What if you're not in a position? So you're going to say, okay, I'm the head of the household regardless. I'm on the road 5 days a week. When I get in on Saturday, I'm going to pay the bills. And she's actually maintaining the household while you're not there for 5 days a week. She's better at maintaining the house because she's in the household. You're going to say, okay, well, I'm still head of the household. That's my job. Or you're just going to let her handle her business when it's more convenient for her to do it.
Yeah, I say that. Even if you're there 5 days or gone 5 days, you're really not right pulling out the checkbook, writing any checks. I mean, I think that's my whole point is that, you know, it's too many vehicles, too many options in 2009 to make sure that if you go out on a trip or you're on the road or whatever, to make sure your bills are paid.
But Tony, I think is what you said, Tony. I think that when you made the point, you should be, because your wife is better, and that's really what I was saying. If your wife is better at it, okay, she's better at it, I think she should be not making the final decision. I think you should be up to speed. You should be as good as she is. If she's a CPA and you sleep with her every night, you should know a little bit about being a CPA. You should know a little bit about. So you should be up to speed on it. The brother talking about being on the road for 5 days a week, I get that for real. You're on the road 5 days a week, but when the bills are getting paid and you come home on Saturday, you know, you can go jump in the computer like Rodney said, look at the bills being paid, that's been paid. If you see something out of line, you see something about to happen, hey, baby girl, come over here, let me show you this. What's going on with this right here? You know, what's this right here? Like, that, to me, is being the head of the household in that aspect.
Right.
You know, my point is, if she is that person that she's good with the numbers, okay, let her be that person good with the numbers, but as the head of the household, the chairman of the board, I got the final say.
What if she says, well, no, I want to handle the finances?
But see, here we go again. Here we go again. Again, if you have that, if you're able to do that, and I hope I'm blessed that I'm able to do that, where I have a person that's with me that can say, that can trust me enough to say, baby, I can say to her, I know that's what you want to do, but really, I think we should go ahead and do it the way that I'm thinking. If she said, okay, babe, I trust you, you're right. I mean, I'm going to go with you. I don't agree with you, but you're right. I'm going with you. That's being the head of the household.
Yeah.
And
you got to submit.
Can I throw in another point here?
Go ahead.
Please, have at it.
I think when there's a scripture that says, a good man leaveth behind an inheritance for his children. My father references that a lot. I think in handling the finances, I think we also have to think bigger than just paying bills. I think you have to be concerned with building wealth and, you know, it just not being this day-to-day, you know, making sure that the lights stay on and making sure the cars don't get repo principle of you should be building wealth and growing your household so that when your kids, when you move on, everybody who comes after you is not just starting from zero.
Yeah. Ron, we actually talked about that, the topic, what if something tragic were to happen to you? We dug deep into that topic, and what we found is that it's not how much wealth you leave them. It's, you know, did you impart the wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus, you know, because that's what lasts forever and ever. It's not the $1 million or the life insurance policy. You know, we said if you left them a dime, but you imparted them, you know, the word and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's the ultimate, you know, tragedy if you don't leave your family with that. So we actually dug deep into that a few months ago.
I understand that, but just in the whole handling finances thing, I just hear and everybody, a lot of people tend to do it. It's just, you know, it just tends to be people are just focusing on paying bills.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know for me, my focus is building wealth, and paying bills is like small potatoes. That's a non-issue. And I think but I wasn't always at that point, you know, coming out of school and having, it took me being flat broke and, you know, living in a place that, Rod remembers that, used to be a barn being a NASA engineer, getting paid every 2 weeks and getting a paycheck, paying all the folks that I had to pay bills to and having like $20 to last me for 2 weeks, and I live 40 miles from work.
Mm-hmm.
It took that experience for me to really dig down. I'm like, you know, I'm an engineer. I made it through college and stuff. Why can't I handle a household with a monthly budget of, you know, probably, you know, $1,500 at that point? And so there's a... there has to be some financial training that goes beyond just saying you need to handle your finances and get people into, you know, well, what does that mean? What kind of tools can I use? What should I be doing on a daily basis? What should I be doing on a monthly basis? Should my big picture goal be? It shouldn't be just I got to make sure my bills stay paid every month.
Yeah, and I agree.
Are you saying you should have a MDK account or women had a PDK account? The mama don't know account?
No.
You have one account. There's no some of my money goes here, some of it goes here when I get paid. And it's a matter of, you know, if there's things that have to be done in the household, there's big purchases that have to be made that you have to budget for, and then there's personal one. And,
yeah,
you know, it all has to be worked to that picture.
Yeah, and I throw this out there too, brothers. I offer, you know, anybody who know me, I offer free financial advice. You know, you ask me, I give you the basics. And, you know, granted, I'm like that accountant. I'm like that carpenter. I ain't got all my stuff together, you know what I'm saying? So I don't have all those points, you know, laid out. But, again, I can give you some of the building blocks, you know, free of charge. You know, it's just, you know, it's just trying to help somebody else out. So, you know.
I will be talking to you, Rodney.
Absolutely. Anytime, man. Anytime. No doubt.
Okay. I mean, you know, and that's love right there. But I'm still hearing the issue that, okay, there's some men that can't do it, or their wives are better. For me, my wife handles that. She handles all that. I can't remember the last time I looked at a bill. She just takes care of it. They come in, I give it to her, she takes care of it. I check the balance in the account, and when we run it low, when something, I say, honey, we need to pay attention to what we're doing. You see what I'm saying? That doesn't make me less of a man. That doesn't make me not the head of my household. I delegated the responsibility because she knows how to make a dollar. She can stretch a dollar like you would not believe.
That makes you absolute head of your household.
Exactly. She'll sit down and she'll cut the. I can't tell you how many times we've eaten out 2-for-1 because she cuts out these coupons. She sits there and takes the time to make sure that our household is maintained financially in reference to paying the bills. So if she's more diligent than I am, why wouldn't I let her do it? If she's going to do a better job,
and
if she's more attention to detail than me, if I go out and work, I'm not going to tell her, well, you know, well, since you're good at this, why don't you come cut the grass? No, that's not, that's a man thing. I'm not saying the bill, she's just better at it than I am as far as paying attention to the details and stretching the dollar. So why wouldn't I let her do it?
Yeah, and I just say this, Tony, you know, you know me, so you know it's nothing, you know. But I just say that shouldn't, you know, as Simon says, shouldn't we be working to be more diligent, you know, and to be able to stretch that dollar, you know, like our wives can?
I personally don't believe that maintaining the paying the bills in the household is a requirement for being the head of household. That's just my opinion. I think that being a smart husband and making sure that it gets done properly, whoever does it properly is the one that's going to be the more diligent head of the household. I mean, because we can do it ourselves and still mess it up because we want to be this head of the household, so let me handle the bills, and we still doing it wrong. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
No, y'all on the same. You're certainly on the same page. You said it. You said it. Rodney just said it. You're saying the same things. And then, Tony, you brought the point up. Is being as diligent as your wife. If she can't, if she's not for whatever reason, she can't do it. You can step right in, and take care of it. And vice versa, if you're a provider, providing your wife. So just in case you're not around, like the other brother said. Well, no, Tony, you said it. I don't know how many couples I've seen when a wife come in, they sitting across the desk from me and saying, I've never did this before. My husband always took care of everything. I don't know what to do. If you're a provider.
Speak on that right there, Simon, is that I think that is the ultimate, you know, I think Tony mentioned it before, is that we do have a lot of, you know, for whatever reason, husbands pass away, you know, husbands die, and the wife is, you know, left with, they left with enough, you know, money to make the ends meet. That's not the problem. It's just that they don't know where to, you know, where to send the bill or how it gets paid or, you know, what credit cards we have. And I think that's the most, you know, if you are handling the finances, you have to include your wife, you know. And what I put in the points is that you have to have money dates, you know, with your wife. Literally sitting down is like, all right, kitchen table, after the kids are to bed or whatever. And separate from a date night, you know, if possible, but just laying out this where we are, you know, I know we want to get them curtains for that room, you know, we could probably roll that in next month, you know, just literally just going over the finances. And I know specifically with women, if you don't have it written down, they don't hear you, you know, because I know for the longest, you know, we were having money dates or conversations about the money. And, you know, I have everything just rolling and clicking, you know, in my head and trying to explain it to her without a document, without it written in black and white. She never really received what I was telling her, you know. So, you know, when you do have your money dates, you know, have your stuff written down. It's like, this is where we are. I just paid the mortgage. I just paid this credit card bill off. You know, this is where we're going. But have it written down. And that, you know, that helps your wife. You know, that gives her that peace of mind to say, okay, he's really got this. You know, I ain't got to worry about the lights being cut off or, the, you know, our house being foreclosed on or whatever the case may be. So, you know, have those conversations because I think it's the worst thing to pass on and then our wife is totally in the dark.
Hey, Rodney, this John here.
Yeah.
I was in a subway. I'm out looking at cars with my son today. He's talking about finances. And one thing I'm coming in on tail end some things here. But did y'all anybody mention about, you know, one of the things that I think couples look at, and this is what one thing my wife and we both looked at is putting out a vision, you know, like a blueprint of how where we gonna go. You know, what do we want? You know, we have to kind of put out a mission, like almost like a mission statement. What do we want for our family?
And I think Ryan said that, you know, we get stuck in the day-to-day, month-to-month, you know, pay the mortgage, pay the light bill, pay the mortgage, pay the light bill. And we don't have any long-term, oh, you know, I want to get another car in a few years. Oh, we have to, you know, save for, you know, that camp for next summer or whatever. So, you know, absolutely we have to. You know, again, you know, it's got to be, and all these calls boil down to communication. We got to communicate, you know, what it is we're doing with our wives, you know.
Yeah. And like I said, if you kind of lay those things out for me, that's one thing that I made sure with my wife is that I told her, we went and we talked about what do we plan for long term.
Yeah.
You know, when we lay out a blueprint and you see, hey, you know, we have to watch how we spend and all, because we have these things that we want to take care of, like kids college,
yeah,
you know, or retirement, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that. You kind of lay those maps out there and those kind of lay out those blueprints or those footprints out there. It helps, you know, lay out how you want to spend your money.
Yeah,
so,
and
then,
be specific
and everyone
too,
can,
you know,
because yeah,
some long-term stuff might just be for you. You
yeah
know, my next long-term is I'm going to get a new car, and that's for me. You know, that y'all can ride in it, but, I mean, that's my car. You know, so, I mean, and granted, you know, you know, there's other purchases that is in there, but you have to be specific and say, we know we have to pay for college,
yeah,
you know, me and you, you know. But, you know, you have to really articulate, you know, okay, I'm going to get a new car, you know, you'll get a new car in 5 years or whatever the case may be. And I just, you know, use the car as an
yeah
example. But
and when you I know when you were, so one of you were talking about head of household, and I think that's one of the roles that the head of household do have an obligation to do, is project out what would be the long-term goal.
Yeah.
You know, where's the end state? You know, what we're going to take this family, you know, and you ask for that input of your wife, you know, hey, you know, what do you think, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's where I see my role is, you know, as the head of household. Hey, you know, I'm going to project and tell you how we look as far as what we want to go with the family. What do you think? You know, we got to come up with consensus how we going, and we lay out a blueprint to get there. You know, and the key part to me, and what I always try to go over with my wife is that we sit down every once in a while, and I say, okay, where we at? You know, do we look like we going where we need to go? How we looking our retirement? And we go every once in a while look at our finances, you know, do how our investments look, you know, how do the kids' college fund, how do we have we laid out enough to pay for those things, those big ticket items like that, you know. That's all in the blueprints, you know. And that's one thing when I was reading some of these articles, they say one thing that you have to have in your family is some kind of vision of where you want to go. Anybody want to inject in that?
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. 200%, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because as the head of our, yes, that is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to blueprint it. Our responsibility is to forecast exactly where we're going to go through communication with our wives. Hopefully, we have the same goals in mind. You know, we can't leave that up to them. We have to we have to make sure, I mean, because the security of the family, like someone said, leaving a nest egg for the children, we have to make sure that is done. That is our job.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. And also, I keep going back to this point, but we can also delegate responsibilities once we've done that.
Yeah, because, like, I'd agree, you know, some we come into agreement on something, and that I feel like, for my, like said, is that what if something happened to you? You still have to, that blueprint is out there.
Yep.
And if something happens to you, she has to come along and take that role, you know. Someone has to do it, you know.
Yep.
And keep
And you can't leave her in a position like a deer stuck in a headlight. You just can't leave her that way because we've been doing it for so long, they haven't been used to. You see what I'm saying? Just like I said, my wife pays all the bills. But if something happened to her, like she would roll out tomorrow, I can still take over and pay all the bills, because that's what I did it before her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that we don't leave her in a bind if something happens to us, that she can just pick up and keep it moving.
Yeah
fellas, I got another question. I know it's 11:25, but what for the fellas, and again, you know, please don't take this the wrong way, but I guess I'm just trying to, for the fellas that don't handle the finances, what I guess is your reasoning, what are some of the reasoning why you don't, I guess is my question. And, you know, just be flat out, you know, if it don't have time, or, I mean, what are some of the reasonings that you don't handle the finance or the day-to-day or the paying the bills?
Well, I tell you, because I don't know, I might be the only one on the call. But,
you're going to tell me.
I might be the only one to call. So, tomorrow morning, there's nothing that I could go to my wife. There's no reason that I could give her to say, okay, now it's my turn because I'm the man of the house to take over the finances. There's nothing I can say because she's done well, I mean, above and beyond a good job at handling that. You see what I'm saying? If I have the time to sit on this conference call for 2 hours, I've got the time to pay the bills. Okay, that's what she says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. She is better at it. Again, she is more attention to detail as far as the money and things of that concern. My job is to keep the bank full.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I'm not going to tell her, now you go out and make the money. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to go make the money. But while I'm doing that, you can go ahead and make sure that the house is maintained. Because she maintains. She buys the groceries. She does everything like that. My job is to get out and make the money. Just like the brother said, he's on the road 5 days a week. He's not concerned with anything other than going out, showing up for work every day so the house is provided for.
Yeah.
You see
so
what I'm saying? So the deep. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, you're saying that she doesn't give you any reason for you to take it back, you know, because you say you could do it, you know. So basically, she's doing a good enough job where you're comfortable and everything is rolling. Okay, I feel that.
I mean, in your household, there's a certain thing called the peace factor. We have to live with these women. We have got to meet in the middle some of the time. You see what I'm saying? And if I don't have a reason to say, okay, well, let me go ahead and take over this thing because I'm the man of the house. If I don't have reason, why break? If it's not broke, you know what I'm saying? And it's definitely not broke.
and that's the thing. I think you mentioned a good point is that peace factor. I personally could not be at peace if my wife was handling the finances. Cause I know how she, you know, and you know, your wife is probably 10 times better. But you know, even if she was good at it, I think that subconsciously I'd be like, man, you know what? Even if she included me in everything, you know, with what was going on, I think I would still not be, you know, at peace like you are, you know, when you go out and you don't have to worry about it. She's got it locked down. Everything is taken care of. I personally, you know, I just couldn't feel at peace, even if she was doing a wonderful job. And, I mean, that's just me personally. You know, I don't put that on anybody else. So
Let me share something with you, okay, because I want to let you know that what you're saying is right. To a certain extent, I think that it depends on the woman that you're married to. And the reason why I say this is because my last marriage, there was one night that I was sitting in the living room playing Sony PlayStation, and I heard this sound. You know what that is? That's the truck backing up with her car.
Whoa.
Right? So I run upstairs, and I look, and I see that the car is slowly rolling up the street. So I look, and I said, did you pay your car note? She was like, Okay. So then I jumped in my car, drove right behind the truck, and I said, what's going on? Why are you taking the car? He said, call American Honda Finance tomorrow and find out. I got in my car, I went back, got back on the couch, started playing Sony PlayStation again. Because I understand that sometimes some women just, they don't have that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in a situation like that, I had to take over the bills. I had to.
Yeah.
Because we would have lost everything.
But Tony, would the car have been repossessed if you were handling it from the jump?
Well, actually, probably not. But, you know, that was her one bill to handle. That was her one bill. I took care of everything else, the mortgage, the everything. I said, you just take care of your car.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that was the only issue. The light stayed on, the gas, everything else stayed on because I paid it. But I said, that's your car. You take care of your car, you know, and that was the result. So I think it's a case by case, but by no means do I believe that by us being head of household that we should just automatically assume that position, even if they are more equipped to do the job than we are.
What have we learned? I'll go first. I think, you know, again, what I said is that, yeah, you can be, you know, just like Tony just said, you know, yes, you can be an effective, you know, head of household, you know, by not, you know, by being involved, not being in the dark, but not necessarily having everything under your control. But, you know, I still, you know, stand firm that, you know, I just, me personally, you know, again, no offense, I think that the head of household, you know, should be handling the finances, the day-to-day, the grind, the flipping, the paying, the bills and all. I just think that. But, again, I still think that, you know, I know Tony's an effective head of household. I know Patrice is an effective head of household. I know my brother's an effective head of household. So, you know, I say that, you know, it's kind of like we end up with two answers, you know. But,
yeah,
you know, what I prefer, of course, I don't need to say it anymore, but, you know, that's just where I stand. But both men, you know, can be effective head of household. So I'll just leave it at that.
Good words,
brother.
Good word. Anybody else got anything?
Well, I just, from my standpoint, is that as long as we as men put the vision out there, I keep sticking with that, you know, laying out a blueprint, you know, for where we want to go with our families, you know. And if we all can be included with that vision, that I think that really helps, you know. And like I said, I want to go back to that. I used to handle the checkbook in my household, you know, all paying all the bills. But I always felt that if we're gonna roll, we're gonna roll together in unison. And we're gonna get from A to B. We got to be all in unison on the same page. And I just felt that consciously that I needed to have consensus on how we're gonna get from point A to B. So that's where I believe that. I see my personal, how I see running a family. That just me on a soapbox, I guess.
Good words. Anybody else got anything?
All I got to say was a good topic.
Good topic. Yeah, Rodney, very good topic.
Yeah, I agree. Good word. And then again, you know, don't take my words as any offense. You know, y'all know me. It's good words, good conversation.
But like you said, we all have ways to, you know, have different maps. But the end state is, like I said, to make sure your family is taken care of.
Right.
And how you get there, we all going to do it slightly different. But the end state is what? Family. Mm-hmm. And make sure that they are taken care of.
And we're gonna agree to disagree on most topics on this phone, and
that's
healthy.
That's what it's all about. We wouldn't be on here for 2 hours if we're like, everything's good.
Yeah,
all right,
everything's
good night.
The same, you know.
Everybody thinks the same.
Close that chapter in 1 minute, you know.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's extremely healthy, and I appreciate your views, and I understand. It's just what works. I've learned from listening in on these conversations that what works in someone's house might not work in my house.
Absolutely.
And then I've also learned on this conversation that what works in your house may work in my house. You see what I'm saying? I may need to try what's bringing you success. I may need to try that. You see what I'm saying? So it's good that we can at least hear it, so then we can make the decision at that point. Well, am I going to implement this in what I do, or it'll never work? For me, it'll never work because I don't even want to have that conversation with my wife. And I might be in the doghouse for like a week. I might be on this call 5 hours.
Especially if she didn't give you no reason, you know.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
You know, and most of y'all know my wife, she's Spanish, man, and she starts talking that language, man, so I don't even want to be in the house.
She's been to smack you with the checkbook. Smacked you upside the head with the checkbook.
Yeah, man, you know.
Carry your butt upstairs. I got this. Yeah, but, I mean, it's a challenge. You know, every week, you know, this call is a challenge, and, you know, I've learned something. I learn something every week, you know, so, I enjoy the discourse. It's healthy, you know, like Tony says, healthy discourse, you know, to work everything out.
Can you get it off your chest?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we can shut it down.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's up. All right, fellas, y'all be blessed.
Okay.
Good call, fellas.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Later.